It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Thank you so much for talking to us today here at lovely Picture House Central. Delighted to be joined by Alec and Francis from God's Own Country. It's really exciting that the film is coming out in just over a week in the UK now.
That's right, yeah, it comes out nationwide on the 1st of September.
And how, like, I guess just, like, you know, from a Picture House side of things, I've been aware, very aware of this film since Sundance, but for you guys, when did you shoot it, and Francis, when did you start writing this?
Oh, okay, so I think I wrote the first version of this in 2013, oh, wow. I'm going to say, and we shot it in March and April 2016, so last spring.
Okay, that's not too long ago.
No, like, because this is my first feature film after writing it, and I'd not been to film school, and I didn't know any directors really, or any filmmakers. I didn't really know what to do with it. Mm. So there was quite a bit of time of sorting out what do I do to make a film, in a sense.
And what was that sort of journey like, from, I guess, the having that finished screenplay to funding to finding Alec and Josh and, you know, actually going up to Yorkshire and shooting it?
It was extraordinary. It was a lot of work, a lot of hard work. It seemed to take over my life and still does. It was exciting, it's been an incredible experience and somewhat overwhelming.
And Alec, when did the script come your way? How did you get involved in this?
I think in 2015. November. Yeah, a casting director from Romania told me that Francis is looking for a Romanian actor for this film, and I sent a self-tape to Francis, me and other 40 or Romanian actors, basically. Wow. A lot of actors between 25 and 30 something years old. And then Francis came to Bucharest to meet 15 of us, and I was one of them. After that, I came to London to do a chemistry test with Josh, who was already on board with it, and me and other two Romanian actors, and obviously that chemistry test went really well, and I got a part.
What's it, when that script comes your way, and it's a film shot, you know, in off on a farm in Yorkshire, what goes through your head?
Well, to be honest, when I first read the script, it was one of the most detailed script that I've ever read. I fell in love with the story, and I fell in love with the character, and I said to myself that I really, really have to do this. And I'm very lucky that I got a part, and that I got to work with Francis and Josh and Joshua James Richards, the DP, and they're beautiful people and great. I mean, we worked great together. It's not often to work in this kind of way with this kind of process.
Absolutely. The film is beautiful.
Thank you.
Like, it's such a treat to see on a big screen, because you don't need to have, you know, like, big Hollywood effects, you know, to be spelled. Like, just the landscape is so good, and the actors, they're so well photographed. They're also very good looking, which always helps. But it's stunning to see, and I think that visual style you have is really remarkable. What was sort of going through your mind in terms of how it should look?
Yeah, so I started work with as Alex said, Joshua James Richards, the cinematographer, maybe 4 or 5 months before we shot the film, and we worked very, very hard on trying to pin down what this film would look like and feel like. Mm. And we started with a very broad canvas, and then we kind of brought it down and kind of consolidated it to a few images and a few kind of tonal feels. And we both knew that we wanted to experience this story through the central character's eyes, through Johnny's eyes. Mm. And so the camera would always be very up close and personal with him, and we would see this world through his eyes and experience his journey. And I think that you know, I'm a big fan of rules. So the camera and the camera department had rules, because I felt that would really push us creatively and also make sure that the film all looked like it was in the same world and we were always working towards the same goal.
Mm. For me, it's things like the textures really stand out. and you're really good at picking out like the sort of the stone and the grass and the trees and, you know, facial hair and like the people. It just I've not really noticed it with a lot of other films. I don't know if that's something to do with the finish or the grade or just the type of camera you shot on.
I mean, I have to be very honest, I don't understand the technical at all. But for me, the tone was really, really important. You know, I love immersive cinema. I love, as a viewer, being immersed in a story, you know, having all my senses played with, that sense of touch or feel or different textures. And it seems insane to say that you can feel that from an image, but I think you can, and I think that's when images become very powerful and stories become very powerful.
I think you can. I think if that stuff is on screen, I think your brain fills in like the wind that must have been on the day and that, and the smells and the sounds. Like, it is very rich and feels very lived in.
Yeah, and I think that maybe you can put yourself in the shoes of the people you're watching, of the characters, of the story, and then go on that journey. You know, see the good and the bad, but go on that journey with them.
What was it? What was it like shooting, you know, up in Yorkshire? In, I guess it's a real house that you shot in.
Farm, yes. it was great, actually. You know, I was very blessed that John, the farmer who owns that farm, is a friend of my dad's. So it was a shortcut, really, to getting to him and him understanding what we were trying to do. And he was very generous. It was his busiest time of year. It was lambing season.
Of course.
Maybe 1,000, 2,000 ewes all about to pop. And he was incredibly generous with us.
There's like to move the story along, obviously farm work is very important in it. How did you prepare for that work? I assume you did a little bit of research.
Well, we did a lot of work, in fact. For 2 weeks before we started shooting, we started to work on farms. On two different farms. I worked on Francis's father's farm, and Josh worked on the farm that we shot the film in. Mm. And we had very long shifts from 6 a.m. in the morning till late in the evening, and we learned how to make cheese, how to make injections to the animal, how to cut their hooves, how to give them vitamins, how to birth lambs, and stick our hands in different parts of the animals. And yeah, we had to do all that, and of course that was very helpful for us as actors, because it got us a sense of the physicality of the characters and what do they have to do. And of course it helped us a lot on set, because we were very comfortable around animals. And they tend to be unpredictable, but we kind of managed to keep them together, yeah.
In fact, the boys were so good. I mean, I insisted on this because I love authenticity and truth. And as I said, I love being immersed in film. And I knew that if I'd used a hand double or a stunt double to do any of the work with the animals, the intricate work with the animals, I would always be pulled out of the film at that point. And I didn't want that experience. But the boys were so great with the animals and became so proficient, and it became second nature to them, that most of the animal scenes are shot in one take.
Oh, wow. I think that's, again, it's about that immersion, and you're not, I was never distracted by the jobs the characters are doing, because I'm just totally, you know, like, caught up in the dialogue. And it's because the, you know, you as actors aren't thinking about what you're doing, you're doing it as second nature, and you're thinking about the scene. And I think it comes back through the screen to the audience.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really great thing to say, Sam. I think that you know, I feel the same when I watch it. I'm not worried. These are actors who don't really know what they're doing. I feel very confident that they feel very much part of that world. And interestingly, you know, I guess the biggest critics would be someone like my dad or his friends, the farmers of West Yorkshire. And when they came to see it, they were totally immersed in it. They didn't have any, you know, they were like, oh yeah, no, they're really good at it.
Oh wow, that's the highest praise, I think.
I know, right?
as an actor, when someone says, oh, you just need to work on the farm for 2 weeks before we shoot, is that something that's an exciting sort of prospect for you?
Well, it is exciting. I mean, in case the acting thing doesn't work, now I have a side job. Well, I think I was very proud when Francis's father came to see the film in Edinburgh, and after the film he came to me and said, okay, you did great. And yeah, it's very important. I'm talking about the farming stuff and that. And yeah, it's very important when the teacher tells you that you're doing great. I mean, yeah, it's, that means that you're authentic and believable, and that was the main purpose of all the research that we did.
The film is a real journey as an audience member. Like, I feel like I really know these characters by the end of it. When you were writing it, was there what was the hardest scene to crack? And I guess as an extension, what was the hardest scene to shoot?
So the hardest scene to crack, it's quite difficult because it's at the end of the film. And it might give away some of the story. It was very difficult to take a totally inarticulate, non-verbal character who has to go into a situation where he has to say something to make a difference. And that was very tough because, you know, he wasn't the kind of person who would you know, eloquently explain where he's at emotionally, how remorseful he was, how he understood now, how he was processed. He just wouldn't do that. So, but he needed to say something. Hmm. So that was tough. That took some time. Mm-hmm. What was the hardest bit to play, Alec?
For me?
For you.
The scene that we had to do, that we had to swim in the pond. I think that was the hardest for me. Yeah, there were like 2 degrees outside and we were freezing. And we had to film this, to shot this scene, and we kept postponing it because Francis was very kind and expecting for the weather to get better and to be warmer, but it didn't happen. So that was our last day of shooting, I think.
Yeah, I shot the film chronologically for a number of reasons, but that was the scene that was shot out of order because I was waiting, as Alec said, I was waiting to see if it was going to get any warmer by the end of April, and of course we went to shoot that scene and it snowed.
And it snowed that morning.
And the boys were brilliant, you know, in every respect. They for every part of the film, they came on this journey. They you know, told it with truth and with professionalism and good humour, apart from this scene with the water. And in the end, I almost just pushed them in because they just wouldn't get in it. And it took forever to coax them to get in. But eventually they got in. We only did one take.
Yeah,
it was quick. It was really quick.
Both of those are great qualities in a director, being very welcoming and considerate of your actors, but also just pushing them in because, come on, guys, we need to get this done.
It had got to that point where I was just standing on the back going, just get in now.
So you finished shooting in April and the film premiered in Sundance. So that's in my brain, that feels like a very scary, tight edit.
What actually happened was we had plenty of time. I worked with Chris Wyatt, who's an incredible person and editor, and taught me more about storytelling than anyone I've ever met. He relocated up to Yorkshire, and we built him an edit suite so I could stay in Yorkshire to edit. And we had a good edit period. You know, I was very lucky. I shot the entire script and everything in the script worked. I didn't have to cut round anything. And so it then just became about choices and the kind of story we wanted to tell and how we didn't want to repeat things within it. So we were well on schedule with the edit. But Sundance actually saw the film in a rough cut when they were selecting films, I think in October. And then we heard that it had got in. But then there was all the other stuff to do. You know, there's the grade and the sound and the credits, the graphics. And so I didn't actually finish the film until early January. So I finished the film. The DCP was made and I was on a plane to Sundance. That was quick.
It feels like sounds like a blur.
it kind of was a bit of a blur. There was no damn time to sit and be reflective and think about it and think, oh, what's this experience going to be like? Or what has this experience been like?
Mm.
There hasn't been any time for that.
Was Sundance something that you wanted to aim for? Was that sort of a thing that, you know, we have to premiere at Sundance?
Yes, very much so. I again, naively, I thought about the big festivals, and I think most filmmakers, you know, try to go for the... But, you know, would love a premiere at one of the top 5 film festivals, which Sundance is one. I personally felt I would be really uncomfortable with anywhere I'd have to wear a suit, or that there'd be a glitzy party. So I discounted Cannes and Venice at that point. And then I thought about Toronto, but that was a year away. Mm. And also there's a lot of films at Toronto, and I worried that a little British film might not stand out. And I like snow, and I love the films that they program at Sundance. And so to me, from very early on, that was the goal, where I wanted the film to premiere, and was very lucky. Sundance were the first people to see it and took it, and then incredibly lucky that then Berlin took it.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, Berlin felt a very comfortable festival for me as a filmmaker as well. Very lucky.
And what's it been like? Because this film's had such a great run at festivals, Edinburgh, Sundance, Berlin, Australia. Like, what's it been like taking this film around and talking to it, meeting the audience afterwards?
What's actually really brilliant about it, and I think one of the best experiences I can take from the film, is the way in which people personally respond to the film. And, you know, you might do a Q&A, and some people don't ask questions in Q&A, which of course is fine, but they might come and find you afterwards and personally tell you their personal connection to the emotion or the landscape or the characters. And sometimes that unlocks them to tell you a little bit about themselves. And that's lovely. That's really nice. And it also feels like this film becomes everybody who sees it, not mine anymore. So that transference of ownership is actually a very satisfying process.
Absolutely, it's out there now. It's the audiences. Right, well, thank you so much for talking to us both today.
Thank you,
Sam. We're thrilled to be playing it in our cinemas and to be working on a release. Fingers crossed.
I'm so, so happy that Picture House are releasing this film, and you know, you guys have looked after it so beautifully.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Sam. See you later.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.